The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The Boston Red Sox drop game one against the Anaheim Angels 9-5. In a game that looked very winnable for about half an inning. We fall to 40-40 on the season, perfectly 500 yet again. And I think that the big story, the big takeaway from this is that Walker Buehler may not be very good at baseball anymore. It was just an unbelievably bad performance by him today. He sort of settled down after the first inning, but the first inning was all the damage that needed to be done. As soon as the Red Sox go up, it looks like we're going to have a great game offensively, 3-0. And then Buehler comes up. He has a terrible inning over the course of the entire 4 innings that he pitched. 7 walks. 7 walks and what was it? 2 hits hit batsman, I believe.
Yeah,
he hit batsman.
Hit Nito the second time. I forget who he hit the first time.
Just absolutely unacceptable. Immediately, we find ourselves in a hole. 5-3. We fight our way back. Garrett Whitlock absolutely gets the doors blown off him in the second inning, which I know some of us have been very vocal about maybe keeping him in that one inning role. And overall, this just, again, it feels like one of those losses that really was avoidable. What was your guys' takeaway?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Avoidable is the right word because you go up 3-0 in the first inning. This is what you want from this offense. Like, you want them to come out, jump right out, get a lead, and that should settle down a guy like Walker Buehler, who has been up and down this season, but you give him a 3-run spot right off the bat against what's really not a good lineup in the Angels. And he goes out there and pukes on his cleats and gives up 5 runs in that first inning, and the rest of the outing wasn't much better. Like, he seemed to settle down a little bit, but then walks the bases loaded again in another inning. It just, the walks with him are, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on there. Like, I thought that he would benefit from Bailey kind of adjusting his pitching program to be more like fastball first and get ahead in the count and then use your break and stuff. But Buehler can't get ahead in the count because he's just all over the place. So this is more of a Walker Buehler thing more than anything else. It's, you can't put this on anyone else. It's the pitcher, because at this point, he's looking like a bad investment, and I think we're starting to see why a lot of other teams just didn't really touch him in the offseason, because, yeah, he had a great October with the Dodgers, and he had a pretty decent second half, but I think a lot of teams looked at him and said, yeah, there's probably a lot of luck involved, and this isn't who he really is. We know who he is, and unfortunately, the Red Sox thought they knew better, and it looks like they were wrong once again.
Yeah, I mean, he's given up 5 earned runs in 3 of his last 4 starts, and I think 4 out of the last 5, 3 of those were for exactly 5 runs. So, you know, this pitching staff has been kind of cruising. Giolito kind of scuffled a little bit, not too bad on Sunday. And, you know, when you get to almost July and, you know, if you could tell me one pitcher would be struggling really bad, I wouldn't put my money on Walker Buehler. You know, he ended the year pretty well, pitched very well in the postseason, pitched well in spring training, really pitched pretty well throughout the month of April. He had that brief stint on the injured list with the shoulder, and really that was the turning point. He's only had a couple of good outings since. And, you know, 7 walks, 2 hit by pitches, like you said, that's a lot of free passes. Like that's a guy that's a mess. And he's basically at this point, his ERA is up to 6.62. He's in Corey Kluber territory. The next step is DFA. You know, and I think somebody would claim him. Well, I shouldn't say that. With all that money on the books, maybe not. But it could be a James Paxton situation from last year. Maybe the Red Sox eat a chunk of it. But I think you need Walker Buehler. I don't think we're making the postseason, but if the pipe dream is still alive, you need a healthy, effective Walker Buehler. And Hunter Dobbins went on the injured list with an elbow strain, so we don't know the severity of that yet. And he's been a guy who's literally given you a chance every time out. So that's a key thing there. I guess we're going to get Hauk and Kyle Harrison within the next week or two. So it's not like we don't have bodies, but you want the guys that have been pitching well to be the ones staying in the rotation. And you know, the Dobbins spot is empty, and I don't know how many more starts Walker Buehler has.
It really is just looking like it's getting to the point where it's just untenable. You know, how often can you throw a guy out there who seems to be getting worse and worse every single month? It's like you said, Terry, you know, this guy, he had a pretty good April overall. I have his numbers pulled up. 5 starts in April, a 3.68 ERA. He came back from that injury, had that first game back where he, you know, got tossed in the 3rd inning. And since then, it's really just been more bad than good. This month so far in June, 16.1 innings pitched and 11.57 ERA. This is far from his worst game that he's pitched. That would be versus Seattle when he gave up 8 runs in 3.1. So unfortunately, he did get better this week. It's just when you improve from 8 runs in 3 innings to 5 runs in 4 innings, the improvement is just not really as much improvement as you get probably from a replacement level player. I mean, Buehler's money is gone as far as I view it. How much of a sunk cost fallacy can we make this guy? How much more can we give him this veteran treatment, this money bank treatment where, well, we invested in you. We need to get our money's worth. You're not getting your money's worth if he's losing you games. It's quite the inverse, actually. I think that Dobbins going down probably saves Buehler for a few more weeks. But at this point, I mean, hopefully Fitz can come in and do something good. I have a lot of faith in him settling down now that he's been able to build himself up a little bit back up in AAA. Once Hauk comes back, once Sandoval is ready, which should be in a couple weeks, I think, unless he's gotten worse, I think he's doing all right. I mean, this guy's time is limited in Boston. It has to be. He looks lost out there.
And what's most disappointing to me about Buehler is that I thought when we signed him, we were getting a guy who has, I hate using this term, but has that dog in him because, like, he hates the Yankees. He loved pitching against the Yankees, you know, in the postseason and, you know, wanted to beat them. He's not even 30 yet, and the Dodgers gave up on him, and he's a guy who has something to prove. He, like, this should have been his prove-it year. Like, he should have been balling out this year. Like, a one-year deal, you know, a guy who's not even 30 yet, and a lot of the league has written him off because he had a bad first half last year, and he's had injuries, whatever. He has all the motivation to pitch his ass off this year and show the entire MLB, hey, I still have something left. I still got a lot left in me. Like, I'm a big game pitcher. I've won the World Series. I pitch well in October. Like, I can do this. And he signed with a big city team in Boston. And, like, he's just come completely backwards. Like, he's not clutch. Again, you give him a 3-run lead. He goes out there against a bad Angels lineup and just completely gives it away. This guy doesn't have that in him. And, like, the hitting batters and arguing with the umpires, like, he just seems like just a hothead. Like, he's like the Alex Verdugo of pitchers. Like, you're too much of a hothead and too much of a loudmouth, and your talent doesn't match up to it. So, like, close your mouth and try to pitch better next time instead of just yelling at the umpires and hitting batters every time you get frustrated. So he's costing himself money at the end of the day. Like, he got a good deal from Boston, given the fact that it seems like no one else really wanted to touch him. He had a chance to make so much more money, and he's pissing it away. With every start, he is pissing that away. So I thought that we got a tougher guy. I thought we had a guy with a better mentality. Turns out, not so much. This guy's going to have to sign with a small market team, and, you know, where the media and the crowds are not too much for him. Like, maybe go to Pittsburgh. Maybe go to, like, Kansas City. I don't know. Like, wherever he goes next. But he's not going to get that big money contract that he could have earned if he pitched well this year. Because right now, it's trending awful for him.
And I don't want to get into a long thing about it. We got all season to do it. But you look at Buehler just kind of bombing now. I mean, Breslow's offseason isn't looking so great. You know, I mean, Chapman's been good. Maybe that's a little bit unfair, because I'm not going to hold the Bregman injury against him. He was playing well, hitting well. And I don't really give him a ton of credit for Crochet, other than the fact he had the balls to make a move. But you knew what you were getting in Crochet. He was going to be an instant game changer for any team, for any executive that was willing to trade for him. But I don't know. I just, you know, the reports are he doesn't have a lot of friends. I think it was the Passan report said there are some turncoats in the front office. So, you know, the Buehler, you know, the poor performance of him almost every time out now just kind of gives that crowd some ammunition. And Garrett Whitlock as well. I mean, him and Buehler in 4 combined innings needed close to 90 pitches. You know, Whitlock was right around 40, I think, when he got taken out. And I think Buehler was right around 50 pitches after 2 innings. So not a lot of efficiency there. What about Alex Cora? That was kind of entertaining.
That was very entertaining. You know, he got run for the second time in really within a week span. And I like to see him fired up. I'm happy that he went out there and he argued. What do you guys think of the call? So there was a little bit of confusion initially over what he was yelling about. And we can talk about the base running mistakes. We can talk about that afterwards. But just looking at the call, Alex Cora appeared to be saying that there was an obstruction call with the second baseman. I think his name is Rengifo. He was blocking second base with his leg, and Cora was saying that was obstruction. Now, I've read the obstruction rule. I don't think it was obstruction, but I don't know. I've seen a lot of debate on it. So what do you guys think?
I think Cora was in the wrong on this one. I think he just had to fire up his team because, unfortunately, Jaron Duran once again made a stupid mistake. Anyone knows, anyone who's played any level of baseball knows, if you're on second base and the ball's hit to your right, meaning the shortstop or third base side, you don't move. You stay back at the base, or at least you wait to see if it's going to go through. And if it doesn't, you go back to the base. Duran, stupidly, decides to try and take third, gets caught in a rundown. And then Toro, stupidly, decides, I'm going to take second base because I'm, you know, Lightning McQueen all of a sudden, like Abraham Toro, who can't run, like decides he's going to try and take second base. So the base runners were really at fault here. I think Cora was just pissed off at the players and was like, you know what? This game has just gone off the rails. I'm pissed off. Like, if me going out there and getting thrown out fires people up, fine. I'll do it. And I get what he was saying about the whole obstruction thing. I don't know if that matters in that kind of play, though. I think it more matters, like, in a double play or, like, a stolen base attempt. I think if you're trying to take second base on a rundown, I don't know if it matters that much. And again, I don't know, like, what the language is specifically, but I don't think Cora had much of an argument. I think he just went out there because he's like, God, these idiots again. Okay, fine. I'm going to go out there and scream and, you know, yell at the umpires, and hopefully it gives the team a kick in the ass, because at this point, if they're going to do stupid crap like that, I don't know what to do. So I think that was Cora just kind of like feeling a little bit helpless and just throwing his arms up and going, you know what? Fine. I'll be the bad guy. I'll get tossed out. If it gives him a kick in the ass and we can somehow steal this game, fine. But I think he was pissed at Duran. He was pissed at Toro. Like, I think he's just pissed and just, as we all are, fed up with the stupid mistakes. Like, the base running mistakes, the defensive mistakes that cost you this past weekend, like, all of it. Stop playing stupid baseball. That's all he's asking for. And at this point, Toro's a veteran. Duran, I don't know if you want to call him a veteran, but at least he's been here for a while. He's been playing since 2020. So, like, you have to know better. And I think Cora's just frustrated. So that, I looked at it more as like a frustration kind of, yep, let's see if it motivates guys, but it probably won't. I think it was just Cora's out of moves at this point, and that's kind of what he resorted to.
I saw a tweet. Apparently he was thrown out last year by the same exact umpire. I think his name's Alan Porter. And so then again, he kind of gets run tonight, and Nesson didn't seem to know what the deal was. You know, they were looking, what did the ball graze Duran on the way to third? Cause that would have been an out. I forget what the other thing they were looking at was. And then after the break, it seemed to hit. I don't know if Alex Cora might've literally sent Middlebrooks a text. I mean, I'm sure Middlebrooks is pretty tight with most of the roster, but, I was just watching Cora, and you could see he was amped up, and he was like holding his hands behind his back. And I'm like, you could just see he was just, if it didn't go his way, I'm surprised he didn't get ejected sooner, because they had a brief verbal, and then Cora was actually headed back to the dugout when he got rung. So it was interesting. And then Ramon Vasquez comes in, and I think the next inning the Red Sox were up to bat, there was a runner on, was runners on first and second? I can't remember. I think
it was
a runner
first
on,
initially.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And Hamilton was the batter, and he had all that speed. So he bunts, gets on. Then I think Duran tried it. And so two in a row, and he didn't make it, but the runners went to second and third. I don't think anybody came home on it, but it was just interesting to see some small ball. It was kind of an aggressive move. And you know, Cora just seems to be pretty basic nowadays, and you still have the same old problems, you know, with defense. And I'm so pessimistic because the kids aren't in the lineup against lefties anymore. So it's just, there's no reason to believe Alex Cora has any patience or wherewithal to develop these guys the old school way. You know, could you imagine Jacoby Ellsbury coming up today, and on day one, you're a platoon guy? And I mean, there's been other lefties over the years, but Andrew Benintendi was very good his first 3 years in Boston, and, you know, had good numbers really on both sides, but nobody's given the opportunity for that anymore. And I'm kind of curious if that is an Alex Cora thing or if it's the front office thing. I think it's a Cora thing, but the beat writers don't seem to want to really ask the real tough questions. So it's just kind of open to interpretation.
Yeah. I'm interested in hearing what Cora has to say after the game. I'd like him to break down what he was arguing. My understanding of the obstruction call itself is that so long as you are in the process of fielding the ball, or once you have possession of the ball, you can obstruct the base. You know, you can get your body in front of it. So it looked to me on the timing thing that he was, you know, perfectly fine to do what he did. But I agree, it was funny because it looked like he was walking away from the ump. Everything was fine. And then Alex turned around and he yelled something. And the broadcast picked it up very, very quietly. I tried to go back and listen to it a few times, but it sounded like he said something like five effing something. And that, of course, got him tossed. But you're right. You know, I was happy to see the small ball afterwards. We loaded the bases, one out, and it was still 5-5 at that point, I believe. And we could not get anyone home. And that was just very frustrating. Unfortunately, Anthony went out there and had, I thought, a very bad at bat. And, you know, it sucks when Ref Snyder is on the bench. It's a lefty. So you sort of think, well, you know, you live or die by your platooning, right? I don't know. It's just very frustrating. I think this whole team right now sort of reeks of desperation. Because it wasn't even just the Duran and Toro base running mistake. Even amidst that first run rally, or first inning rally, rather, where, you know, we score three, Willy Abreu has a nice hit. He got thrown out trying to take second on it. He shouldn't have. That was stupid. David Hamilton later on gets caught stealing. It's like, dude, what are you here for? You know, so it's just bad mistakes. And I think it was Lou Merlone said recently on Twitter that, you know, a lot of the mistakes are coming from kids. It's a sign of youth and whatnot. But, you know, like you said, Jason, Duran's 28, Toro's 28, Abreu's 26. These guys, you know, they're not hardened baseball players, but they've been playing since high school, college, all through the minors. You'd think some of that stuff would get ironed out a little bit more. And I don't know. It just seems like guys are just trying to do too much, and it leads to stuff like this.
Yeah, that's where I push back on the, well, it's a young team, so, you know, this is the growing pains you have to go through. No. Look, I'll give you some excuses for guys like Anthony Meyer, Christian Campbell when he was here. Like, those guys are legit rookies, okay? Roman Anthony came up in a big spot tonight. He struck out. That sucks, but this is what you go through with top prospects, okay? I mean, go through the league. Jackson Churio, Junior Caminero in Tampa Bay, like, they all go through it, okay? They're not always going to hit a grand slam with the bases loaded. It's, you know, it's Major League Baseball. But Jaron Duran has been playing baseball for a long time. He has, okay? And he's been up with a Major League team for a while. He should know better. A guy like Willy Abreu should know better by this point. He's played a full Major League season. So he knows the in and outs, and he knows his own speed, or he should, and clearly, he tried to stretch things. It didn't work out very well. David Hamilton, like, he's barely a big leaguer. Let's be honest, okay? He's a 4A player. On any other organization, he'd probably be in AAA. He'd be like the Nate Eaton of other big league clubs, like an emergency backup call-up guy. But here, because Alex Cora loves him, he's on the bench and he plays second base a little too regularly. And yes, you're very fast, but if that's your only attribute, then you better not get caught stealing. I kind of push back on guys like Merlone who are saying, well, it's a young team. That's what you have to expect. No. There are some guys who are very young. A lot of the team are veterans. Bregman, Story, like, these guys have played for a while. You know, even like we mentioned, Abreu and Duran, like, they've been in the league. They know better. That base running play by Duran, I'm sorry, I keep going back to it, but it's like anyone who has played any, like, you know that. You don't move if it goes to your right-hand side at second base, and he did it. And we've seen this with Duran this year, like the outfield mistakes, not calling off the third baseman, although he said afterwards that he did call him off, even though, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, we'll believe that. But he's dropped fly balls, he's bobbled, you know, the balls in the outfield. Like, there was a play the other night where he tried to throw to home. Thank God Nate Eaton, the actual veteran, cut it off and tagged out Devers in a rundown, because Duran just, that's what he is. It's like, nope, just throw home. Got to throw home. Like, that's his only move. Same with Abreu. Abreu had an awful throw to home tonight that airmailed the catcher, went almost to the backstop. Like, so they have a lot of young guys, it's true. they also have guys that just, they have a lot of natural ability, but the IQ, the baseball IQ is just not there. It's not there. And it's with too many of them. Duran, Abreu, even my guy, Sadon. I love Sadon Rafaela, but he's made some dumb base running mistakes this year, some dumb throws as well. Yeah, and obviously the kids are going to, you know, they're going to make their mistakes too. So this is what you get. This is what you get when you trade away a guy like Rafael Devers, who is a veteran, who I think knows what to do, and you have a very young roster and a very young lineup. Yeah, you're going to have games like this where they make a lot of mistakes. This is what you signed up for. All these people who kept telling us over the years, oh, just wait till Roman and Meyer and Campbell are up. Like, we're going to dominate. Yeah, not right away. They still have to learn how to play at the MLB level. So it's frustrating, but this is what you signed up for.
Duran has, believe it or not, had a negative defensive war in four of his five seasons. Right now, he's negative 0.1. So if he cleans it up in the second half, he could, you know, maybe balance it out a little bit more. But I've been noticing this year, he's made a lot of awkward leaping catches when he could have just tracked the ball a little bit more effectively. He's booted a couple. So it just hasn't been good. Last year, he was never going to match last year, you know, on any metric, I don't think. But other than maybe doubles and triples, he probably could have matched that. But a 2.5 defensive war, I mean, that's very good defensively. And so it was nice to see, but he just hasn't really continued that level of defense.
Yeah, that's been one of the biggest surprises of Duran's sort of downturn. He is a perfectly fine player if you look at the war, if you look at the numbers, but he's not the MVP that he was last year. He's not the six war guy, the perennial all-star we were kind of all hoping he would be. We knew that some sort of regression was inevitable, but I think when we were talking about regression, we were like, oh, well, he's going to go from like a six war guy down to like a three and a half war guy. And right now he's looking pretty average. Average hitter, below average defense, above average speed. It sucks. It really sucks. I think that right now we kind of have a big problem with the fact that now we've traded away one of the better bats in the league, easily the best one on the team, aside from the other best bat on the team who has been injured for a long time. And right now the heart of our order is kind of heartless. We have Toro batting second. We have Anthony thrust into the role right near the top. Some people are even saying, oh, put him in leadoff. Whoa, the guy walks, but let's calm down. Let's not put that pressure on the young guy. I was really happy to see Rafaela get bumped up to batting sixth. I think he's earned that without question. But, you know, Duran, Toro, Anthony, Story, that's our top four. That is a far cry from our opening day where we really thought, man, we have something cooking here. Now, I have seen a couple of people be sort of pessimistic maybe on Anthony, and I do get it. But one thing I'd like to point out just to have hope in him is the dude's walking a ridiculous amount. And whenever you walk that much, right now his on base is actually 178 points higher than his average. Whenever that happens, it just means your slugging's going to take a hit, you know? Even your average is going to take a hit because, in his case, he's not going to try to go for a ball that's outside the zone. He's just going to let you walk him. So I am not worried about Anthony right now, but the rest of the team, with Anthony included, I just think it's too much pressure on too many of the young guys, and we're just not performing at high enough of a level where we need to be.
I would agree with that. Yeah. And I think, you know, the people that are getting on Anthony, like, okay, did you have that same energy when Tristan Casas sucked for half a season? And, you know, people like us, me and Terry, at least, were on here like saying, yeah, maybe he needs to be sent down, and, you know, people hated us for it. He'll get there. He's okay. Like, I think Anthony is still catching up to major league fastballs, major league pitching in general. Like that strikeout tonight, like, that strikeout won't happen 2 months from now. He's going to adjust to it. And as you said, like his on base being that high and him taking walks is a great sign. Because one thing I know about Saddam Raphael is that like he struck out an enormous rate when he first came up. And he still kind of does. But slowly he's starting to take walks now. And you know what's coupled with that? Now he's starting to get hits. Now he's starting to hit the ball out of the park. Now suddenly he's going 2-for-4 every game. The batting average is going up. The OBP is going up. The slugging's going up. So it's an adjustment. And look, it took Sadon a long time to get there. It'll take Anthony a long time to get there. It'll take Meyer a long time to get there. Christian Campbell had to be sent down, mostly, I think, because of his defense. But his bat needs to get there too. But Christian Campbell was taking walks. So these guys do have good plate vision. Like, I'm not worried about any of them. I think Meyer's going to be fine. I think Anthony's going to be fine. I think Campbell needs a reset, and I'm glad they did it. He'll get that reset, and I think he'll be fine too. But again, this is what you're going through. Unfortunately, we are looking at a development here. I hate that, and you guys know I hate that. That is BS to me, because you should be going to the playoffs this year. But Walker Buehler keeps pissing down his pants every time he pitches. So, like, some of your signings, Lucas Giolito, like, they have not worked out. You might still sneak into that third wild card. You should be able to, because the American League stinks. But this is what you have to go through. And it's okay. Like, I'm with you. I'm not worried about the kids. I'm worried about the veterans a little bit. But you do have Bregman coming back. That's going to be huge. That'll help balance that top half of your lineup. Trevor Story is kind of slowly, I'm not going to say heating up, because that gives the impression that, like, you know, again, he came up with the bases loaded tonight and still didn't do anything. So, you know, he has his moments. But
he did have a nice home run tonight.
He did, yeah. And he's not an automatic out anymore. Like, he is starting to hit the ball the other way. That's good. But he's not a middle of the order bat. So, yeah, after Bregman comes back, your 1-4 might be a little bit better, but the rest of it after that is kind of easy picking. So that's just what you're going to have to live with, and that's where the starting pitching has to be better. Your lineup is not going to score a lot of runs this year, no matter what anyone tells you. Roman Anthony is not going to become Julio Rodriguez or Mike Trout in one season. It's just not going to happen. Your pitching has to be better. And that's why tonight I focus on Walker Buehler. You're the veteran. You signed here for 1 year on a prove it deal and you crapped your pants. Like, the team scored runs for you. They scored 5 runs. Against this Angels lineup, that should be enough. And it wasn't. So that's where, like, a lot of people are going to get on the offense, and guys like Toro, they're replacement players. And it's a replacement players and a lot of rookies. It's on the pitching tonight. And that's where it's going to be mostly going forward, I think.
As far as the big three prospects go, I kind of rank them in this order. I've got Meyer number one. I like his demeanor at the plate. You know, he's had a few dingers now. Defensively, I mean, is he your best defensive infielder right now with Bregman? Well, I mean, maybe Story, I guess, but I don't know. I really like Meyer out there.
He's better than Story. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. So he's your best infielder. Another reason to not platoon him. And then, you know, I got Anthony number two, and I got Campbell at the bottom. I heard this on the Mass Live podcast, so I'm not taking credit for it, but do you have any idea as to what Campbell's defensive runs saved was?
Oh, no. Minus, it's not going to be good.
Minus something terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Negative 14.
Oh.
So he's the worst in the league. The worst. He might even be the worst infielder in all of Major League Baseball. So he got sent down. They theorized that was the biggest reason, but I don't like Campbell's demeanor at the plate. He just doesn't look settled in the batter's box, and he's not playing the chess game. You know, what's he coming at me with? Like, there's no plan whatsoever. Anthony at least looks pretty calm. He's waiting for his pitch. And as Nick kind of alluded to, maybe he's a little too patient at the moment, but I mean, he was left down there a long time. Some people thought too long, and so he was ready. There was nothing ill-timed about Anthony's call-up. So I want to see more. It was funny. They walked. Who was hitting in front of him? They walked. Romy came off. I think the pinch hit.
Yeah.
That loaded the bases. And I'm like, man, what a big moment for Anthony here. And it was a lefty on the mound. So, it's not like my expectations were too high. And Cora's not really giving him a ton of opportunities to see lefties. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So, and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I hope we're not too far out from a world where you're never going to walk the guy in front of Roman Anthony to face Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't a good at bat, and I'm going to keep blaming Cora for that until he gets fired. But yeah, that's where I'm at with the prospects. And if we go in the toilet, and I think we are, because I think the pitching is going to regress a little. You know, it was all the way onto the floor for quite a while, the whole month of May, and now it was all the way up to the ceiling. So I think it'll come down a little bit. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but what I am saying is I don't think it's going to be good enough to offset this terrible 4A lineup that we're trotting out every night, where we don't even... You have a leadoff guy, and you've got nothing after that in terms of roles. You don't have a two-hole hitter. You don't have a three-hole hitter. Maybe Narvaez is a four-hole hitter. I don't know. He shouldn't be, but in a perfect world, he's your probably five- or six-hole hitter in a good lineup. And so what I'm really getting at here is you're probably not going to make the playoffs anyway, and you're not seizing the opportunity over the next few months to really develop these guys and turn them into bona fide major leaguers who can hit righties and lefties. You're just waste. This whole season's a big giant waste.
Yeah. And you know, I think the biggest problem right now in terms of our offensive production or lack thereof, it really all goes back to just a lack of depth, right? Casas starts out slow, but Casas had upside. And then he blows out his knee, and suddenly we're on to Toro and Romy. And Romy's been great. Toro's been very good as well. I'm skeptical, of course, as I keep saying about Toro, but I mean, he's cooled off this last week, but he's been very good so far this season. So that worked out. But Bregman goes down. Your answer is Nick Sogard for a time. Maybe Toro over there. And then they finally call up Meyer. But, you know, to your point, Terry, every time a lefty comes up, they would rather see Toro, it seems, sometimes. Christian Campbell starts to struggle. What's our answer? It's David Hamilton. Narvaez, one of the better bats on the team, funnily enough, better production-wise than all of the other big three, and he wasn't even one of the big ones. He sort of came out of nowhere. But obviously, catcher, it's a very physically strenuous position, so he's going to have to sit. And who's up in his place? Connor Wong. And so you get, funnily enough, I feel like if we were facing a left-handed pitcher tonight, our lineup would have been better because, you know, you at least have Romy in that sense. You have Ref Snyder, two bona fide lefty killers. But, you know, versus righties, it's just like, who do we roll out here? This is ugly. It's really ugly. We just need a real pitcher. We need a trade for a real pitcher if we have any playoff aspirations. Because Crochet is great. Bayo and Giolito are showing signs that they can be real pitchers, thankfully. Bayo especially, actually. He, you know, if you go back looking at each of his starts, he hasn't really had like a bad start since May 18th. That's nice to see. Giolito has a couple blowups here and there, but overall this year, he's been solid. We just need Fitz to hopefully fill in for Dobbins and be good, be what he was last year, even just be decent. You know, 4 to 4.5 ERA would be awesome right now. Just no more of this 6 runs in 3 innings crap that we keep getting. And hopefully either they figure something out with Hauk and he can come back and not be the black hole that he was. Or maybe Sandoval will come back looking good. Or maybe Dobbins will just, you know, miss 2 weeks and then he'll be back and without the tightness be back to who he was. But we need to get Buehler out of this rotation because I have quickly lost faith in his ability to be any kind of an anchor, except for the fact that, you know, an anchor sinks, I guess. So maybe he is an anchor in that regard, holding us back. It's just, it's very tough because I do love the guy. Just like you said, Jason, before, the dog in him. I love his attitude. But it's kind of one of those sad moments where I feel like some guys come back from Tommy John's and they're great. Look at Nathan Eovaldi. He was better after Tommy John, several Tommy Johns. But it's just sad because I look at Walker Buehler right now and I see a guy who wants to be good so badly. He wants to help us win so badly. I don't blame him. I just think right now the talent isn't there. The skill isn't there, whatever word you want to use for it. I just think the ability, you have to be realistic at a certain point and say, this is not something that we can continue to do.
And that's where you have to decide, because a name that's coming up a lot is Aroldis Chapman, who has been lights out since he's been with the Red Sox. And I was not expecting that. And it depends, like, what do the Red Sox want to do? Do they really think they get a wild card shot? Or is it a development year? Because, again, they brought it up on the broadcast, like, Aroldis Chapman was traded for Cole Reagans, who ended up being one of the best left-handed pitchers in all the American League. So, you know, if you can find a stupid team that is desperate to contend, like, I don't know, Atlanta or one of these teams that's on the fringe that's like, we need that closer, we need that one other guy, and they're willing to give you a starter that no one knows about yet. Maybe Cincinnati. Cincinnati traded their closer to start the year. They got a ton of pitching. Do you want Rhett Lauder? Do you want, you know, Andrew Abbott? I don't think they'll give you him, but like, can you do a move like that? That's what I want to see them do, because Chapman is not long for here. Like, I've seen a lot of people like, oh, they need to extend Chapman now before. No. Don't extend him. No. Trade him when his value is highest. Don't make the mistake you made with Duran, because Duran's value has plummeted. And you're not going to get the return that you thought you were going to get. Chapman, you can deal. Slayton's going to be healthy pretty soon. You can slide him right into that closer role. No problem. And like, we've talked about it, like Tanner Houck, when he comes back, is he a starter or a reliever? He might be a reliever. Maybe he becomes your closer. Who knows? Like, you have options. You're not tied. You're not married to Aroldis Chapman. So if there's a team stupid enough to give you a really good pitcher in return that you can groom and you can kind of go, yeah, this guy is a top-tier rotation guy, do it. Don't waste time. Like, that's what I want this team doing. At this point, like, just make the moves. You need pitching. And because you put it perfectly, like, this lineup, they're not going to give you much. They might explode for, like, 6-7 runs every now and then, but most of the time, you're going to have to win games 4-2 or 3-1. And this rotation right now with Walker Buehler doing what he's doing, and Brian Baio being inconsistent, and Crochet is an automatic, or it should be at least. But the rest of it, Giolito, you don't know. Like, you need another starter in there. So I want them doing that. I want them doing what Kansas City did last year, being like, hey, we got this awesome closer. We're not going to really compete this year. Do you guys want him? Oh, yeah, we'll take that awesome lefty who's nasty and has great stuff. Yeah, we'll take him. Yeah. Find a stupid team like that. Find a stupid team like the Rangers. Honestly, you could actually contact the Rangers, because I think Chris Martin's closing for them. Be like, hey, so Jack Leiter, how attached are you to him? Because we have Chapman again if you want him. Like, do that. That's what they should be doing. Because at this point, like, you need more starting pitching depth, because the offense isn't going to do it. It's the pitching that's going to carry this team.
Well, here's the bad news. Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, eventually Patrick Sandoval. I think they're far more likely to just see what they have with those guys. And if they can hit on one of them and they have a good second half, I think that's your replacement for what you hoped Walker Buehler would be in 2026. So I don't really anticipate. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. And maybe some of them guys we got in the San Francisco deal is just simply trade capital for a bigger move to come. If you want to be optimistic, if you're a pessimist like me, that big move never comes. So I don't remember the last time it's happened. Before we get to the matchups here, just a look at the schedule, because we are, you know, it's almost July. We've got the Blue Jays coming up at the end of the week. Then you've got the Reds, who always play us tough, whether they're good or bad. They're five games over 500 right now. I think they've won four in a row. So perhaps this is the Francona magic finally kicking in. Then you got three against the Nationals, who aren't very good, but they're dangerous. You know, they've got good pitching, good hitting. They just haven't seemed to sync it all up the right way. So you got them. And then the week before the All-Star break, you have the Rockies at home, which is good. I'd honestly be a little nervous if we had to go to Denver. I mean, that screams losing two out of three for some stupid reason. But we have them at home, so you should be safe there. Then you got a four-game set against Tampa, who we've played okay against. And then you got the All-Star break. So if you're Alex Cora and you're this Red Sox roster, and you're trying to make a case that Craig Breslow should reinforce this roster with some upgrades, those are some teams that you need to be able to beat in order to do that. Here's where it gets tough. After the after the All-Star break, it gets pretty tough. You've got a three-game set against the Cubs, who have been very good all year, been leading the NL Central. And that's going to be at Wrigley. Then you're going to Philly for three games to face the Phillies, who have been a very good regular season team for, you know, this will be the fourth season in a row. Three at home against the Dodgers. And then you do wrap up the month of July against the Twins, who have only won one of their last 10, by the way. So, you know, they've got a little bit of time to really get it back together. And then, you know, and then it gets tough again. So I think we're going to be sellers, if I'm being completely realistic here.
Yeah. You know, what I just want is for us to decide on one way, as opposed to what we've done the past couple of years, just settle on one, either buy or sell, go for it or don't. I don't want to see the sitting at 500 talking about, oh, you know, well, Bregman's coming back. I mean, that's just as good as trading for Kyle Tucker, right? No, it's not. All right. It hasn't been. It never has been. You either get your injured guys back and add to it, or you sell off the pieces. And I agree. I think that a guy like Duran, who I think is, unfortunately, I hate the idea of selling low, but it's a crowded outfield right now. Especially, I don't know if you guys have seen what the password is doing down in AAA this year. He's massacring pitches down there. I'm thinking he has a shot of being up very early next year, honestly. So the outfield is just continuously getting more and more crowded. You have to choose between Duran and Abreu pretty much. For me, my money's on Abreu at this point. You take a guy like Duran, a guy like Chapman. It's a shame because previously I was saying we could trade Walker Buehler at the deadline. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. But, you know, if you sell off some pieces, I think you could get a good return. You either do that or you nut up and you go out and you try to get a guy like Mitch Keller. You try to get a guy like Ryan O'Hearn. There's a lot more pitchers out there, I'm sure, that I'm, you know, they aren't on my radar yet. I need to actually look into it once we get into July here, what the market's actually going to look like. But just commit one way or another. Don't toe the line. Don't be a coward, pretty much. Either wave the white flag and prepare for next year, or say screw it and go balls to the wall. It's one of the two.
You want to know a weird trade you can make? And I'm going to write about this on the Substack, which can be found at bastardsofboston.com. Here's a weird trade. Alex Cora for Rob Thompson. I don't know if Thompson's going to be any good, but his deal is 1 year shorter. different voice. And you know, Dave Dombrowski would probably love a reunion with Alex Cora. And I think that roster would play well for Alex Cora. Lots of veterans. That's the type of roster Alex Cora could win with. And, you know, maybe I'm sure Thompson's deal, if they just want to part ways at the end of the year, is probably a lot cheaper to absorb than Alex Cora's is at $6 million a year. So that's just a way to free up, you know, the Alex Cora problem. And I also theorized that if they move on from Cora, because his seat was really hot and people all across Boston, the whole media landscape, mostly radio, actually was saying he's gone by the trade deadline if things don't turn around. And we went on that disgusting run starting with that first Yankees series, and you know, we're back to 500 now. On, you know, we're on a downward trajectory, but you know, I think it would be a John Henry, Sam Kennedy, slimy, snaky move if they made Breslow fire him, only to fire Breslow later on. Make Breslow do the dirty work. I think everybody would figure out what happened and the optics wouldn't be that much better, but I think that would be the path. But this whole organization is a clown show right now. But who's Garrett Crochet going up against tomorrow?
Let's take a look at the probable matchups. We have a 9:38 p.m. start here on the East Coast. Garrett Crochet versus Tyler Anderson. Then the next day, a 4:07 p.m. start, Richard Fitz versus Yusei Kikuchi. Honestly, I looked at both Anderson and Kikuchi. Their ERAs are very different. Neither of them are throwing that unbelievably. These are both games we could win, I think.
I think tomorrow you got a good shot because Tyler Anderson, I like him as a pitcher, but he's very much a ground ball, like not a big strikeout guy. He relies on the ground ball. He doesn't like the balls to leave the park. I think Crochet can dominate that lineup. I really do. So I think if you get to Anderson early and just not fall for the sinker, just kind of get some balls in play. He hasn't been good his last couple of starts. He's been giving up a lot more runs than he usually does. Like, he started the year with like a ERA of like 2.5. Now it's up to like over 4. So he's starting to struggle, and I think this lineup can get to him. Now, you will see the Alex Cora special because he is a lefty. So you're going to see probably Anthony and Meyer on the bench and Ref Snyder, Romy, you know, they'll be in the lineup. But they do kill lefties, and I think this guy, he doesn't throw hard, so I think they can get to him. So I think they're in good shape for tomorrow. Like, Crochet will dominate. I think they're in good shape. Wednesday is a little bit tougher because Kikuchi is nasty. And I still don't trust Richard Fitz. I'm sorry. I want to, but I don't think he's got the stuff. Like, I think that he's okay. And like, on a team like Pittsburgh, he'd be their number 3 starter. Here, it just doesn't work. So I'm hoping they win tomorrow because I don't have great confidence in Wednesday.
Yeah, so we did face Anderson in the previous series. He lasted 4 1/3 innings, gave up 5 earned. I'm wondering, was that the start of his downturn? It looks like it was, actually. Yeah, he's given up, in 2 of his starts, he's given up 6 runs and 4 earned. Well, he did have a couple bad starts before then, actually, so strike that. But the other thing about him is I don't think he throws anything at 90 miles an hour or above. I think he's strictly an off-speed guy. So this is I'll stop short of saying an automatic win, because whenever I do that, it ends up being an automatic loss. But it's about as winnable of a game as you can get. And then for some reason, I don't. Like Jason said, I don't like Fitz right now in any scenario. I hope he wins me over because I like his personality. He looks like he's perfect. He's the type of guy you want in the clubhouse, and he doesn't rattle. I mean, he can pitch around traffic. It doesn't, you know, I like him out there, but he's not really the blow you away type, at least for now. He's not a high punch out guy, so I don't know if that can get sorted out, but I don't know. There's just something about Kikuchi. I just feel like, I don't know. I would say we're probably going to lose game three.
All righty. I think, you know, I'll be a bit optimistic here. I think we can take the series here. I think we're going to beat up on these two pitchers. Hopefully Crochet and Fitz can do a good job. The fortunate thing about today is, you know, Chapman didn't get wasted. So hopefully we have him. Hopefully we won't even need him tomorrow. But there's only one way to find out, I suppose, and that's to see what happens in the game itself. You guys have any final thoughts? All righty. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We really appreciate it. We will be live again tomorrow with a slightly different arrangement, or is it the same guys? I'm not sure on the schedule.
I think it is us, actually.
Yeah, that's funny. So for once, actually, it will be all of us coming back tomorrow. I've been Nick the Voice, joined tonight by Jason Kelly and Terry Cushman Jr., and we have been the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much, and have a good rest of your day.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.